Man, this is powerful. This is powerful. Go to Galatians 5:22. It's our foundational scripture. Galatians 5:22. We've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk a little bit here about the first one, love. And we're not going to get through this today. There's no way. For as much as I tell you, that's it's endless to talk about love. God is love. He doesn't just have love. He is love. And it's God's total motivation for everything that He does. It was love that caused Him to create us. His want to have beings that can love Him back on the same level that He can love. The angels couldn't cut it. The angels cannot love back to God the way we can. As born-again, Spirit-filled believers, with that born-again, recreated Spirit that was born by the Holy Spirit, we have the capacity to love God in the same capacity that He loves us. It's in there. It's one of the fruit. We inherited from the Holy Spirit when we were born of the Spirit, John chapter 3. So we have 9 character traits of God in our spirit. And it wasn't enough. And God wants us to get those character traits from the inside out. So we have to develop these things within us. So we have these things in us, but we got to be able to get them on the outside. And He doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He gave us the Holy Spirit to help us work out these fruits, this fruit that's inside of us. Amen? And I'll tell you what, as we grow in the fruit of the Spirit, as we consciously say that I want these fruits operating on the inside of me, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, on and on. Well, I want these things manifesting in my life. It's going to make your life higher quality. You're going to have peace. You're going to have joy when you didn't have joy. You're going to be able to love others that you couldn't love before. You'll have long suffering. Will you be able to have the patience to deal with people, even deal with yourself, that you never had, that you never thought was possible? But it's in there. But we got to keep watering it. We got to keep cultivating it so that it comes from who we are in here to out here. And it benefits other people also all around us. Our families become stronger, more loving, more peaceful. We have better homes. We're better people in the workplace. People want to be around us. That when everything's in a crisis, we step up with confidence and with a peace and go, I have an answer to that. How many people want that? Instead of being just like everybody else, when a crisis happens, go, oh! Okay, I should have only went twice. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We're going to go through each and every one of these so we know what they look like. So we know how to work on them, how to manifest them in our life. So these are 9 characteristic traits of the Holy Spirit that we inherited from the Holy Spirit as we were born from the Spirit. So we have the Spirit traits in our born-again spirits. If we are born of the Spirit, then we have these same 9 character traits in our born-again spirits as well. In John 3:6. We don't have to turn there, but because we've been there many times. In the Amplified, it says this, John 3:6, what is born of from the flesh is flesh, of the physical is physical, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. So we have no trouble understanding that my mom, flesh and flesh came together and produced flesh. In the same way, spirit produces spirit. Orange trees produce orange trees. Dogs produce dogs. And what the Spirit produces, produces Spirit. And that's what we've become. We have, by the Holy Spirit, been born of the Spirit. And so naturally we take on the traits. I mean, the orange, when it's born of an orange tree, has a peeling, and then it has, you know, the rind, and then it has the insides. It has seeds on the inside, and every one of those oranges has the same characteristics, don't they? We too have the same characteristics from where we came from. We're not here. We're not of here. We are from up here now. We're from a whole different place, and that is the spirit realm. We've been born again in our spirits, and we've inherited spiritual traits. We should be more mature over time, growing progressively all the time. That's where we should be in our lives. We should be constantly focusing on these nine fruits and maturing and growing and becoming bigger and bigger, looking more and more like Christ all the time, looking more and more like our Heavenly Father all the time. This is our earthly goal. This is what we should be doing in our lives. This is what we should be targeting, what we should be meditating on, is growing in the Spirit and growing in these five physical traits. We are all at different levels of maturity, but we should be progressing from babies to adults. We don't want to be wearing spiritual Pampers 30 years into our Christianity. That'd be a heavy diaper, wouldn't it? And our Heavenly Father is just not into changing diapers. He's past that. So we want to grow up and mature, don't we? We want to get up and walk. We don't want to be crawling our whole Christian life. We want to become mature so that now we can reach out to other people and pass that maturity on to other people. And then as we flow in spiritual gifts, because that's where we're headed, as we flow in the spiritual gifts, we'll do it motivated in the fruit of the Spirit, in love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We will have these things already walking in those so that we walk in spiritual gifts. Now we're helping people. We're doing it because we love people, not because we're self-promoting ourselves. There is so much out there where people, they work in spiritual gifts and they're just promoting themselves. And we don't want to be that, do we? We want to be a people that's reaching out with the God kind of compassion, doing the works of our Father and doing the greater works that Jesus did with the right motivation. I really think that we'll see the gifts more prevalent if we're walking in the fruit. Because the Holy Spirit's the one who hands out the gifts. And if you're still in your Pampers, can He trust you with a gift? So do you go and hurt somebody with it? Amen? I think this is important. John 15:7. Go ahead and go to John 15:7. It's a little bit of review. John 15:7. It's not to say that He doesn't give us spiritual gifts while we're growing, but if we have no intentions on growing, it's something that we have to make a quality decision in our life. I'm going to grow. I'm going to walk in God's kind of love. I'm going to walk in God's kind of joy. I'm going to walk in God's kind of peace. I'm going to walk in God's kind of... And if we endeavor to do that and the Holy Spirit comes along beside us, I can work with that. Come on. Then as we mature and grow, man, we're going to be powerful operating in the spiritual gifts. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Notice that it's important that we're abiding in Him. We're living in God. We're abiding in Him and in His word. That's important. And how the Father is glorified when we're abiding in Him and abiding in His word, then we're going to start bearing fruit. We're going to start being more loving, more peace, more joy. These things are going to start manifesting in our lives. And in that, our Father is glorified. And it's evident to the rest of the world that we're His disciples. What are disciples? Disciplined followers. Jesus said, that's what I want you to go. In fact, let's go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. How many want to glorify the Father? Right, we got a couple. Want to glorify the Father? Then we must bear much fruit. And this isn't getting people saved, getting people born again. This isn't the fruit he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual fruit. Though we should be witnessing, and we should be getting people saved. But he wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to start looking more and more like him. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Not just converts, but disciples. Disciplined followers of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things. Do you see that? I mean, if you're going to be a disciple, you need to be taught to observe all things. So it's something progressive, isn't it? And what we're learning is how to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is walking in the fruit of that Spirit. So we need teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. The evidence of being a disciple is bearing much fruit. This is not getting people saved, but bearing fruit glorifies the Father. Disciples are trained to bear fruit progressively. It takes time. This isn't something that just happens. Don't get frustrated with yourself. It takes time to develop these fruits, even though they're on the inside of you. We have to renew our minds. See, I mean, our soulish man has not been born again, has it? And that's still in progress. Our flesh has not been renewed, has not been born again. That's coming. Our redemption is coming, but it's not there yet. But our spirit person has all the elements on the inside of it. But we got to get our soulish man to agree with our spirit man so we can get it from here out here. Because we've learned how to depend on the flesh all of our lives for survival, to function. Our five physical sense gates. And so our soul has learned to trust that. But once you become born again, now we don't trust that. We trust the Spirit now. And it takes time for us to develop in that. So don't kick yourself if you're not instantaneously going, man, I've made some major progress in 1 week. He's patient with us. This is a lifelong progression. So the Father gets happy when we bear fruit. He's glorified. He gets happy. Because we're acting just like Him. He's like a proud papa. Look at my kids. I know that like our kids, you know, you train them up from the time they're small and you train them up, and you're sowing yourself into them. The traits you want to see in them. You're sowing it. And it's progressive. And once they get up to, you know, their later teens or early 20s, you start seeing them now picking up the ball and running with it. And they're starting to look like you. And they're starting to make good decisions. And they're, and you know, not always, but but mostly, I mean, and they're maturing. And they don't forget the things that you taught them. Even though they make their mistakes, they come right back and go, you know what, man, what you taught us, you know, I'm going to start putting to work. Because I know I ignored it earlier in my life. And I got some problems in my life now. But now I'm gonna repent and get back on the right track. And in the same way as we're born again, we're going to want to look like our parents. We're going to want to look like our Heavenly Father. We're going to want to look like God. And it's progressive. It takes time for us to, like I was saying, get out of our pampers and start walking and start, you know, a baby, when he gets up and starts walking, he pulls himself up on it and then he falls on his bottom. He doesn't... And then he gets himself back up and falls on his bottom again. After about 20 times in one day him doing that, he doesn't say, I guess it was God's will for me to crawl the rest of my life. He keeps trying until he succeeds, doesn't he? That's the way we need to be. You keep getting up and trying. You're not doing this to earn points with God. You're not doing this to get saved. You're already saved. You're already sanctified. You're already His child. It's because you're His child that we're producing this fruit. We're not even capable of it before we got born again. Now we're highly capable of it. And we can do this. We can do it. Man. And our lives will be so much better for doing it. When I was America's Funniest Home Video, that's my favorite show, I confess. I love that. That's a great show. Comes on tonight at 6 o'clock. I got that exactly when that comes on. And I look forward to that show. And in one of the clips they had, there was a little boy, and he's sitting around the table here. You know, here's a little boy. He's sitting here, and the dad is sitting here, and they have cereal, two bowls and, you know, a spoon, and they're sitting there. And the mom is filming this action going on here because the little boy, he watches his dad, and as his dad picks up a spoon load of cereal and brings it up, he's copying him. He's going to hit his mouth the same time his dad does. But they were messing with him. The mom was talking to the dad, and every time that spoon had almost hit his mouth, then the mom would ask the dad a question. He'd go, "Oh, well," and the kid would jerk a spoon back down. And they did this back and forth, messing with the kid, you know. He doesn't even know that he's being messed with. I mean, he's like five probably or so. But I thought, what an excellent illustration that his heart is so that I'm not doing anything until my father does it. I'm going to do it exactly the way he does it. I'm not going to do it before or after. I'm going to be right on cue. I'm going to watch him with an eagle eye. That should be our desire for our Heavenly Father. That we want to be right on the mark with Him. And that comes with time. That comes with fellowship. That comes with relationship with Him. Just spending time with Him and trusting Him. Developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, there's two camps out there. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13. Did I say second? I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians 13. What they call the great love chapter. I love. We're going to talk a little bit about love here. There's actually two camps out there. One that loves to teach chapter 12 and chapter 14 and skip right over 13 because they like the gifts and the power of God moving and those tongues and those prophecies and those laying on of hands and all those things, but they never touched 13. And then there's others that we don't get involved with spiritual gifts. Those went away with the apostles, or because we have the Word of God now, we don't need that. Or so we're just love people. So they only teach chapter 13 because the greatest of these is love. The greatest of what is love? What do you mean these is love? We're going to look at that. The greatest of these is love. So Paul here taught all of it together and meant it to be together. That he talks about spiritual gifts in 12. Then he talks about love. And then he goes back to talking about spiritual gifts. There is a reason for him to do that because they work hand in hand. They work hand in hand. The fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit walk hand in hand. You can't do one at the exclusion of the other. So it's important that we examine these things together, and that's why I'm working on the fruit of the Spirit, and we'll go back and then we're going to talk about all the gifts. Paul talked that they walked hand in hand, not one instead of the other or at the expense of the other. Love is love the greatest gift? Love isn't a gift. It's a fruit. So when people say, well, you know, the greatest of these is love, Well, in 13, he's comparison, and we'll look at this. He's comparing gifts, and he's talking about fruit. He's not talking about that the fruit supersedes the gift or gifts. In fact, here, look at chapter 12 and verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one to profit of all. For to one was given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to the other faith by the same Spirit, to the other gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Did you see anywhere in there that love was a gift? It's missing, isn't it? Because it's a fruit, not a gift. The difference between a gift and a fruit. Fruit is given for the growth and maturity for personal development. But a gift is given to minister to others with. And if we develop the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us, and we're manifesting that, and then we begin to work, we start to take then the gifts and start operating in them, then we're going to be able to minister to others more efficiently. But if we don't, you know, we can't give away what we don't have. Huh? So we need to develop personally first before we start handling the gifts of the Spirit to touch other people's lives. Amen? It's going to make us more sensitive to the things of God and more sensitive to the gifts and what we're doing with it. Our motive becomes sharper. We can hear better. We'll do it His way with His heart if we operate in the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts are given by grace, by the Holy Spirit. Notice that 12:11 says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So the gifts is something that the Holy Spirit distributes to individuals as He wills. But everybody has the fruit of the Spirit. If you're a reborn, recreated spirit, everybody has the fruit of the Spirit and should be able to operate in the fruit of the Spirit. But not everybody is going to have the gift of laying on of hands. Not everybody is going to have discerning of spirits as these gifts function. Like I said, we'll deal with that on down the road. But all of us have the capacity and have within us the fruit of the Spirit. They operate hand in hand, operate according to chapter 14, verse 40, the reason why we operate in gifts by the fruit of the Spirit or in love, which is one of the fruit, is so that we operate in the gifts decently and in order. Decently and in order. And that's really the heart of Paul here as he started teaching in chapter 12. Is by the time he got to the end of chapter 14, he hoped that he had laid a teaching groundwork of how to do and how to operate in the spiritual gifts decently and in order. And if we're not operating in the gift or the fruit of love in while we operate in these gifts, then we're not going to do it decently and in order. And that's what the Corinthian church was not doing. They were all over the map. I don't know all the details of what they were into, but it was all kinds of goofy stuff. So he was putting them on the right course, and he says, look, guys, I commend you that you want, in 14:12 it says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. So he commends them for desiring spiritual gifts, for being zealous for spiritual gifts. But he says, we're going to have to go back to this love thing. We're going to have to go back to you developing the proper character in you, those proper character traits on the inside of you, so that you can do things decently and in order, not be running people off and offending this person, stepping on this person. And we'll get into more detail about that later. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 13:1, right here, chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. How annoying is that? Can you imagine myself here? People are going to be going, I'm done, man. This is over. I'm through with that noise. That's the illustration that he used, that when we operate in spiritual gifts without love, without the fruit of the Spirit operating in our lives, we're not blessing people, we're annoying people. How many people have been in a service where they were, people that were operating in spiritual gifts were very annoying? I mean, they're prophesying and they're not being edifying, nor comforting, or exhorting. I mean, they're all over the map. I mean, they're not even operating in love. They're jumping up and interrupting because they want people to think they're spiritual. That's not love. Love says that I want to operate in this gift to where people are blessed, not showing off for myself. And there's people that do that all the time. And it's because they're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit. They're not operating in love. Without love as a motive, my gift will be less effective. When I was in La Junta and pretty new in the Lord, and it was a Pentecostal church that I was in, and we'd go to Pentecostal meetings. People would come in and have a Pentecostal revival thing or whatever. And the strangest things that we would see, I mean, people growling and hooting and hollering and screaming around and screeching in the middle of the service. I mean, here's the guy. He's up here. He's teaching. He's preaching. He's going on. All of a sudden, somebody walks up and goes, "Ah, glory!" And the whole church turns around and he breaks, you know, what the Spirit of God is doing through the preacher and teacher. He doesn't interrupt himself. The Holy Spirit, that was flesh. That was somebody promoting themselves. That's somebody that's wanting to pay attention to me. Look how holy I am. Look how spiritual I am. If you've got the fruit of the Spirit, if you have love working on the inside of you, you're going to love the people enough to go, I'm not going to do that. Huh? People rolling around on the floor like tumbleweeds. I'm like, what is that? I was listening to a Kenneth Copeland teaching. It was done a while back, and he's teaching along, and all of a sudden, somebody in the congregation, you can't understand what they're doing or what they're saying or whatever. Initially, it's just like somebody's yelling, you know, like I don't know if they're asking him a question or what he's doing. And then after that person is done, and I mean, Kenneth Copeland, he just stops and lets this person go on right in the middle of his teaching, right mid-sentence. He just stops, patiently waits. That's love, long-suffering. And then when the guy gets done, he sits down and he goes, don't you ever do that in one of my meetings again. What he did is he stood up and he went to tongues. Hoo-la-la-la-la-la-la, right in the middle of the whole service, stopping everything. And he says, don't ever do that. That's not decent and that's out of order. The Holy Spirit never interrupts himself. But he says, hey, I have an interpretation to that. And he prophesies off of that guy's deal. And when he gets done, he says, now I hope you're not offended, brother. I mean, you know, we got to learn how to operate in spiritual gifts in a loving way. And that wasn't loving. That was interrupting. That was drawing attention to yourself. Well, see, people will do that. See, the Word says that the prophet is subject to the prophet. The prophet, if he gets something from God, he can hold it for the proper time. He doesn't have to just go for it right now. And we'll learn about that when we get into spiritual gifts as well. When we get into talking about prophecy and how to do that properly. But the motivation will be that I love the people. That I want to be, I don't want to interrupt the service. I want people to get everything that God has for them. I don't want to become the limelight. I don't want to interrupt what the Spirit of God's doing. All of this is the fruit of love operating in your life. It'll straighten out your path. It'll help you make quality decisions by the Holy Spirit, because you'll lay the flesh aside and now you're walking in the Spirit and in the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit and the Holy Spirit saying, well, hold on to it. Hold on to it. I've got a message for you to give, but hold on to it. Instead of just jumping up in the flesh and just going for it. This is developed in us. We develop this in ourselves. Amen. So that's why, you know, you have so many antics go on in a church. And so, you know, as we move in the Spirit, as the gifts of the Spirit flow, and as, you know, how we're going to do it decently and in order is that we have developed the fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us. That we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And when we do that, then as we teach on the gifts of the Spirit, you'll already know that this is the proper time, this is not the proper time. I'm going to go up and prophesy to that person, and you'll be able to say, now, is this my flesh, my self-centeredness, or is this me, or is this the Spirit of God wanting to give them that message? Well, I don't know. Is it exhortation, edification, and comfort? Well, no, I'm actually going to chew them out. Well, that's not the Spirit of God. I mean, we've had people in this church, you know, in the past think that it was their calling of God to say, thus says the Lord, and they're chewing people out when it wasn't. They had a pet peeve with that person, and they knew that, well, I can't really correct them because, I mean, that's the pastor's authority to correct them and do stuff like that. So how can I get around that? I know, I'll prophesy, and it's God that did it. I'm not responsible. This is a move of the Spirit. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. And this is the reason why churches go, you know, we're not even going to do the Holy Spirit thing. We're just going to be a congregation that just says we're not going to do the Holy Spirit. That's the Christian life. How do you avoid the Holy Spirit? You're born of Him and He's in you. How do you sidestep the... No. Paul didn't shut down the Corinthian church because they weren't operating properly in the gifts of the Spirit. He says, let me teach you how to do it right. And that's where we're going with this. We're learning how to do it right. And it starts with us developing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. John 13:34. Are you receiving anything today? If we do things precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, if we do this right and we have our understanding straightened out, then we're gonna be so much better off in operating in the things that God has for us in our life. And it's not just benefits us for the gifts of the Spirit, it benefits us in every area of our life. Like I said, it affects us in our relationships among ourselves and our family, at our jobs and everywhere. So this is very beneficial. John 13:34. A new commandment, not a suggestion. I have a new suggestion for you all. That's not what Jesus said, is it? He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. They're not going to know you're my disciples because of the gifts. He said, because of the fruit in your life. That's how people will know you are a disciple of God. Because you're walking in His characteristics. Like I said, it's easier to step out there and be all spiritual with gifts and all that kind of stuff. But fruit, we go, ooh, fruit. I got to develop love. Joy and peace. I got to be long-suffering towards people. Gentle. I got to exercise self-control. That's the last straw. I'm out of here. Where's that? Where's another church? Well, if you've been here any length of time at all, I'm the kind of guy that challenges you to grow. I don't do Charlie Brown cartoons and talk about milquetoast stuff. And you know, my heart is, because I love you, that you grow spiritually. That you get bigger and bigger. That you walk in a way that you've never walked before. And that it's possible to do it. And the Word teaches us how to do it. And I want so bad for you guys to go climb up that ladder and just keep progressing and progressing and progressing and getting sharper and sharper. I mean, the more you spend time with God and the more you sharpen the fruit of the Spirit in your life and the more you grow, you're going to be happier. You're going to be more content with life. The things that used to just rock your world don't mean anything to you anymore. Is that possible? We're going to get there. Praise God. So it's not by the gifts, but by the fruit of love that people are going to know that we are His disciples. We don't love by advantage. Love isn't, I'm loving you. Oh, isn't this wonderful? And I'm thinking, man, I hope they coat my pocket. We don't put on this false facade of love so that we can get something from somebody else. That's the world's love. I love you. I love you. I mean, you know, you got politicians out there telling you how much I love you. In fact, I'm going to bankroll your life, man, because I love you so much. And they don't give a rat's whether or not you got enough to eat or whether or not you've got a car to drive or you're taken care of. They're going to give you just enough to where you're dependent on them so that they can control your life. That's what they're after. That's not true love. True love is to bring this person up to the place where instead of feeding them fish every day, you teach them how to fish and now they can take care of themselves. That's love. Not holding somebody captive. We want genuine love, don't we? God's love is unconditional. He loves the world even if the world doesn't love Him back. He loved us before we paid any attention to Him whatsoever and died for us. And most of the people are going to curse His name till they die. And He loves them too. Now I suppose, you know, if God can do that and He's in there, can I do that? Can I love unconditionally? Even when they're backbiting you and, you know, they come up to you and they say, and I've had this happen. Oh, pastor, man, you're right in your calling. Boy, you are something else. Man, this is awesome. Boy, I'm with you. Man, this is fantastic. And then you find out later that they're off bad-mouthing you. And dragging two or three people away from the church as they go. And the whole time they're sitting here giving me this big old speech about how they love me and how they care. But as long as they're getting what they're after, they're gonna shake my hand. But as soon as that dries up, they're gone. That's not love. That's not where we're going. Amen. We're going to walk in genuine love, God's kind of love. One that if you get nothing in return, I don't care. We, like God, choose to love. The more we do, it becomes more natural to us. It's something that we water. We have to consciously love people. Our natural knee-jerk reaction, our old nature, was when somebody treated us bad, I'm going to get them back. Start talking about them, start ripping their reputation apart and start doing this and start doing that. And gah. Instead, saying, you know what? That person must be having a hard day. There must be something going on. Can I pray with you? There's something going on in your life, maybe. And just walk in understanding. Life's tough. We have our moments too, don't we? So we don't take the attacks personal. We just go, okay, they're dealing with some situations. That's the God kind of love. That's walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Every time we act in love, we water it and we mature it. It takes time. We have to be conscious of it and force ourselves not to do the old knee-jerk reaction that we're used to. But no, I'm going to do this God's way. And it takes planning to do that in your prayer time before something happens. God, I'm loving. Show me how to love, Holy Spirit. Give me revelation of what it's like to love unconditionally so that when I'm attacked or when something bad happens, I don't just react, but I stop and go, Holy Spirit, I welcome you in to tell me that when I'm starting to speak wrong, I'm starting to get a bad attitude, to check me. And He will. That's what He's in there for. I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to check me when I come up against a situation. How shall I react to this? Sometimes it's just keep your big mouth shut. Let them go on and on. And let them go. If they don't want to converse or just so upset they're just out of here, then that's fine. And just let God handle it. But don't you pick up the offense. You say, nope, I'm going to love them. I'm going to be long-suffering towards them. I'm going to be gentle towards them and kind towards them. And I'll tell you what, you sleep better at night. Huh? Now, there's a lot of people that have a hard time sleeping at night because they got so many offense on this person, that person, this person, that person. Let it go. Just let it go. You're not helping yourself by picking up the offense. The development of the fruit of the Spirit, most important is love. The process and the speed is determined by the commitment and your conscience in your... I wrote that sentence all goofy. Bottom line. Whatever depth you're willing to walk in intimacy with God is how easy and how quickly you'll grow in the fruit of the Spirit. You are who you hang around. So if you're committed to a close walk with Him, spending time with Him, not to get born again, not to rack up some points, but the closer you are to He whom you want to emulate, the quicker you're going to emulate them. You spend a lot of time with a person. If you've never fished a day in your life, and you spend some time with a guy that does a lot of fishing and he talks about it all the time, eventually you're going to get a pole. And you're going to end up down at the creek. And that's the way it is with God. You spend a lot of time with God and in His Word, all of a sudden you'll start, you won't even realize it, but all of a sudden you'll be coming up to a situation and all of a sudden a scripture will just pop out of you. Oh, you know, I just read that this morning. And that's an answer to this situation here. Where if you didn't spend any time in the Word, then all you got is your own little mental thing going on and you're going to react improperly. So whoever you spend a lot of time with is what's going to come bubbling out of you in a time of crisis. If you're spending a lot of time with God and in His Word, you're going to be powerful. But what you're doing is you're developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And that's good. These nine fruits is for everyone. You have people who will say, well, I'm a redhead and we have a temper. So you're just going to have to deal with my redheaded temper. Boy, you got my English up. It's because I'm English that I'm easily turned over and I'm easily angered. You're not of this world anymore. You don't identify with your hair color. You don't even identify with your nationality. Now, I'm not getting on people with red hair. Get in trouble here. But these are just different examples of what people, they excuse their behavior. And they think it's funny and cute and, oh, you're not developing in the Spirit. I don't care if you are English. You're a child of God first. And English second. Dye your hair blonde if you have to. I mean, I do, you know, whatever it takes to adjust your attitude. All right. One last thing. Let's Okay, are we in 1 Corinthians or not? 1 Corinthians 13, or did I pull you away from that? 1 Corinthians 13, we'll just read through this, and then we'll pick it up next week. We'll get into the details. 1 Corinthians 13, 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. These are the elements that we're going to go through, and we're going to tear them apart. Love never fails. Why does love never fail? Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And love is eternal. The fruit in you is eternal. That's an eternal character that you have. You'll carry these traits into eternity. I would say that I would want to develop the fruit even before I even got into the gifts, because the fruit is something eternal. Man. So it's worth investing your time into, isn't it? It's a spirit trait. But where there are prophecies, that's a gift. They will fail. Whether there are tongues, that's a gift. They will cease. Whether there is knowledge, or he's talking about the word of knowledge, it will vanish away. The gifts are not eternal. They're for this present church age. And once this church age is over, and we go home to be with the Lord, there's no reason for us to speak in tongues anymore. We're face to face, aren't we? There's no reason why we need laying on of hands. There's no sickness or disease. These gifts are just for now, to minister down here now. But they will eventually go away. And they'll go away at the return of Christ. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, and some of the best, you know, Andrew, Dwayne, Sheriff, Bob Yandian. I've looked at the different commentaries and things like that. Most the spirit-filled or whatever type of converts, they're hard to find, agree that what he's talking about here is the return of Christ. That's the perfect has come. Jesus' return. That's when we get our total, complete redemption. Spirit, soul, and body. Talks about that in Romans 8:23. Then that which is in part will be done away, or the gifts will be done away. Look at verse 12. For now, what now? Now, at this present time, we see in a mirror dimly. But then, what then? When Jesus returns and we get our redemption, then we'll know Him face to face. Now, in this present time, we know in part. But then, when He returns and we're redeemed, I shall know just as I also am known. And we'll always have the fruit of the Spirit, because that's what we are by the Holy Spirit, the nine fruits of the Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit will eventually pass away. They're going to be unnecessary in heaven, unnecessary in the millennial kingdom. Because we'll know Him face to face now. We'll be, our spirit, soul, and body will be totally redeemed. Man, the devil will be cast off into prison for 1,000 years. What must it be like to not have the devil poking you 24/7? I'm always asking the Father, what is that like? To be completely void of demonic influence around you, constantly poking at you and prodding you and tempting you and hammering you. What must that be like? I wish I could write Adam and Eve, because they're the only human beings that ever experienced what that was like before their fall. What was that like? I'm looking forward to it. How about you? Man, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking for that but then. The gifts are to minister now, here at this present time. But the fruit is what we are now and for all eternity. It's what we are. Amen? All right. We're going to go ahead and stop there, and then we're going to get into each one of these. We're going to talk about love suffers long and is kind. What is that? Love does not envy. Number three, love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Number four, we're going to talk about does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. It's not self-centered. Number six, we're going to talk about it's not easily provoked. What does that mean? And number seven, thinks no evil. Number eight, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. So we'll explore those next week. That's a lot of material, but we'll, thank you, Jesus, we'll get her done. But I think if we can identify what these things are, draw them out a little bit to what they look like, then we can begin to consciously operate in them. Because it takes an act of our will to do this. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Renewing our minds so that we know what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God in our life. And we're renewing it to the fruit of the Spirit, who we are in Christ. Because this is what we are in Christ, aren't we? That's who we are. Father, you're so good to us that you invested in us by the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, so that we can walk in love and peace and joy and be able to enjoy our lives here on this earth instead of struggling through this. Lord, we need a real revelation of what you invested in us as spiritual beings, reborn, recreated in your image. Ephesians 4:24 in the Amplified says that we're godlike. Wow. That's how much we look like you. It's how much we are like you. We are your children, quite literally. We're the children of God, born of you, spirit to spirit. And Father, I want to emulate you. I want to learn how to put the cereal in my mouth at the same time my father puts the cereal in his mouth. Jesus walked on this earth and said, I don't do anything unless I see my father do it or I hear my father say it. I emulate him perfectly. Hebrews chapter 1 says he's the perfect representation of the Father. Jesus told Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And you have given us that capacity to walk in that kind of power and strength that we look just like you. We look just like your disciples. We are Christians looking like Christ, walking like Christ. All these elements are on the inside of us in our reborn, recreated spirit. Lord, help us to develop these characters. To get them from the inside out. Hallelujah. I thank you for the revelation that we do have these fruits, that this fruit is on the inside of us, and that it's possible for us to walk powerfully in the fruit of the Spirit. So that when people look at us, they go, man, that person's walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. That person has victory after victory in their life. Thank you, Lord. We're not easily turned over during times of crisis, but that we can walk in confidence knowing that you, God, are working on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. You're such a good, good God to us. Thank you, Lord. Is there anybody here?